The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Good evening, everybody. Listeners old and new, welcome to Dave's Gone By, an hour of talk radio, comedy, music, and madness coming to live from delicious, luscious, fleshy, and moist Merrick, Long Island. This is our seventh episode titled, with much optimism, Seventh Heaven. Our first five episodes were in our old time slot later on in the evening, but last week we moved to 8 p.m. prime time, 8 to 9. We're here to stay. And hopefully we're building our listenership, our signal might be a little stronger, we're not losing as many people to Mr. Sandman, and hey, a couple more weeks, both Six Feet Under and The Simpsons will be in reruns, so you might as well listen to me. I'm Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, theater critic, journalist, writer, editor, radio personality, and raconteur, and the nicest raconteur since Suzanne Summers played the Orpheum Circuit. Yes, folks, it's about bad taste, it's about silly jokes, dark satire, cool music. It's about 57 minutes, and I hope you'll stay with me. Either that or go to the Black Entertainment Network for weekend inspiration with Brother Gerard. It's basically the same thing. I will warn you, as I do every week, that this is not a kids' show. We're a bit earlier in the evening now. The kids might still be up, so we're not going to do or say anything to shock or traumatize the little demon seeds, but just be advised, this is not a show for children. It's a show for grown-ups that makes them feel like children, which is what it's all about. And have we got a show for you tonight? Have we got a show for you tonight? Yes, we've got a show for you tonight. We've got the World Weird Web, an amazing one about the Swedish Elvis. We've got a Dylan-esque cultural segment. And, as always, we have the news gone by, a jaundiced jaunt through events of the past week. And this edition of News Gone By is brought to you by me. Okay, top story, local news. All of Nassau and Suffolk are up in arms about Mayor Michael Bloomberg's plan for saving New York City by torturing Long Island. Bloomberg, who's trying to stanch a $6 billion deficit, is pushing a commuter tax, a 0.045% surcharge on state income taxes to be paid by people who work in Manhattan but don't live there. The idea is that people who benefit from being in New York City give a little something back for that privilege. Only thing is, I thought that was the point of a little something called sales tax. Tourists and commuters and residents pay 8.5% usury on everything they buy, not counting tips, tolls, or bus and rail fares paid to the MTA. On top of that, Bloomberg wants Long Islanders and Westchesterers and Connecticuters and New Jerseyites to pony up bucks just to do something nobody wants to do. This is not a luxury tax. People don't schlep to work 5 days a week to see the stupid tree in Rockefeller Center. They go because Arbeit macht pay. If you're lucky, you can telecommute or work at home. But the vast majority of the workforce has to be physically present at the job, 8:30, 9, 10 in the morning, till 5, 6, 7, 8 at night. So a commuter tax penalizes people for doing what they're unwillingly forced to do to survive. Responding to the immediate backlash, Bloomberg's camp pointed out that New York is getting hit too. His proposal also significantly raises property taxes for city dwellers, which is great. It makes Manhattan even more unaffordable and drives people out of the city. Where are they going to go? The suburbs! Good show, Mayor Mike. Nice job bringing Scylla and Charybdis to the 21st century. Newsday reports that the tax will affect 750,000 commuters, which is admittedly less than 20% of the Long Island population. Still, when I hear about Mayor Bloomberg, I can't help but think of something English comedian Alexei Sale once said about Paul McCartney. Now, Sale is that stocky, bald, fairly outrageous comedian who was on The Young Ones, and then he had his own show on the BBC. And he said he was once at a benefit, and there among the celebrities was Paul McCartney, just milling about backstage. And it's like, oh my God, it's Paul McCartney, you know, the Beatles and Wings, is knighted by Queen Elizabeth, everything, you know, should I approach him, should I not, what should I say? And it's like, don't you just want to go up to Paul McCartney and say, give us some money, you bastard. You've got so much bleeding money, just reach in your pocket, whip out a million. I mean, what will you make that in 10 seconds? Oh, it's 4:15. There's another 50 zillion euros in my Swiss account. Thank you very much. But seriously, don't you have that same feeling about Mayor Mike? What? There's a budget gap? Really? Pay it. I can't pay it. I don't own Bloomberg Business News. But Mayor Mike, you spent $72 million on advertising to get elected, and you didn't break a sweat. If you'll kick in the first billion, okay, maybe a little tax hike from the rest of us, but sheesh, especially since income tax for city residents is going to go down. The commuter tax, by expanding the tax base, is just going to offset that decrease rather than plug up the full hole. Democratic Nassau County Executive Thomas Swazi, who's been doing his own filling and plugging the last year, was quoted in Newsday saying, "Mike Bloomberg is telling the suburbs to drop dead," proving once again that after Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson, Gerald R. Ford was easily the most quotable politician in U.S. history. Who can forget his legendary "ouch" and his famous "pardon me"? No, "pardon you," unconditionally. In international news, Al Jazeera Television received a tape this week believed to be the authentic voice of world fugitive Osama bin Laden. The tape comments on recent events and terrorist activities and reiterates bin Laden's hatred of America and Israel and his call for violent opposition to Western allies. Portions of the tape were played on CNN, but the full uncensored version has not been released. However, here on Dave's Gone By, we have an exclusive. Excerpts from an English-language portion of the tape, not previously available to the public. So, here, let's give a listen to a man they say is Osama bin Laden.
Salam alaikum, everybody. This is Osama bin Laden, public enemy number one, coming to you live from... You don't think I'm telling you that? But yes, I am alive and well. Nah, 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 you can't get me. No one has any idea where I am. No one! Except the people who are feeding me, the doctors who are giving me insulin, the women buying my clothes, the crew that is videotaping me, the messengers who are getting the videotape, and Al Jazeera TV, which has my speed dial, and the local Chinese place, because they deliver after 10. I want to thank Al Jazeera Television for giving me this opportunity to reach my adoring public, and to the comedian Sinbad for letting me have these few moments on his weekly comedy hour. No, I am not in Afghanistan. No, I am not in Iraq. For a short period, I was in New Jersey, but even I am not so desperate for a hiding place as to stay there. My only regret about bombing the Twin Towers was not taking out Weehawken at the same time. And now, America and its dictator, George Bush, wants the United Nations help in declaring war on my good friend and skiing partner, Saddam Hussein. I assure you, you are tangling with the wrong tyrant. I have played poker with Saddam. He doesn't bluff, he doesn't blink. He doesn't play with his own money, but hey, that is what the treasury is for. But leaving aside Iraq, I want you to know that I am still fighting my war against the evil imperialist, racialist, Zionist, comedian, harmonist America. You jam your metaphorical pipeline between our proverbial buttocks and expect us to cheer when your oil gushes. You allow Israel to subjugate and humiliate Arab peoples in the occupied territories when these Arabs should be like their brethren, subjugated and humiliated by their own leaders. Even after the holy acts of September 11th, America refuses to see beyond its own shell. You have already forgotten the bomb in the Bali nightclub a month ago, because it was not on your own soil. But you have not forgotten the twin ashtrays, and neither have I. Can you truly safeguard the Statue of Liberty, the Sears Tower, the Golden Gate Bridge, the Piggly Wiggly off Route 115 in Omaha? I do not think so. And any country that allies itself with the U.S. in its aggression against the Arab people will suffer acts of violence and terror, very much like the acts of violence and terror we would be committing on them anyway. I would like to close this message with a prayer, taken from the Quran, Book 5, Chapter 4, Verse 3, Number 2. Allah is good. Allah is great. Allah makes me giggle like a girly man. If the mountain will not come to Muhammad, Muhammad will come on the mountain, but he'd better bring Kleenex. Islam is a peaceful, humanistic religion. Unfortunately, we must use the sword of truth to spread it. Arabia is a land of magic, of mystery, of flying carpets, and we are prepared to crash them into flying buildings. Well, I see by the dribble on my beard that it is time to sign off. I want to wish my Arab brethren a happy Ramadan and to tell them that we shall be victorious, that Allah shall purge the infidel from the face of the earth. And when Ramadan is over, you can supersize a happy meal at the Yemen McDonald's for only 30 rupees more. So, bring it on, George Bush. We are ready. Keep your weapons inspectors, your diplomats, your foreign journalists, except that Ashley Banfield, who can join my harem anytime, and that Asian chick from The View. She sure puts the starch in my turban. Well, it's been great. It's Bin Laden signing off from my cave. Good night, Dick Cheney, wherever you are. Osama Bin Laden there from some cave or cafe, easily accessible to Arab television, but beyond the grip of the CIA. Makes you wonder if Jimmy Hoffa is propped up on a bench somewhere in a park near the Pentagon. Anyway, in political news, in one of its final acts before turning over to the Republican majority, the Senate voted itself a fourth consecutive annual pay raise. This one is up 3.1% to a yearly salary of $154,700. Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer both voted against the raise, as did Wisconsin Democrat Russ Feingold, who said, "This is the wrong time for Congress to give itself a pay hike." Other Democratic senators were not so much worried about the raise as the new perks being granted the majority in January, including warmongering, abortion rights dismantling, and of course, endless gloating. On the lighter side, the syndicated column News of the Weird, published locally in the New York Post, reported on the annual Gotmar Festival in Pandhurna, India, in the Chindwara district of Madhya Pradesh. You don't need to know all that, I just felt like showing off and saying it. Anyway, in the Gotmar Festival in Pandhurna, India, in the Chindwara district of Madhya Pradesh, all work comes to a halt after the first full moon in September. That's when the town's men divide into two groups. They gather up rocks and throw them at each other, attempting to injure as many people as they can. And then at sunset, they stop, nurse the wounded, and return to normal life until the festival continues. In September 2002, 550 people were wounded, some seriously. Now, the miscellaneous debris website notes that the ritual, believed to be several hundred years old, commemorates the successful crossing of the river Jam by the former king of Pandhurna after he had abducted the daughter of a neighboring Raja. Legend has it that the citizens of that city pelted the abductor with stones, causing the residents of Pandhurna, assembled on the other side of the river, to throw their own stones. Now, in recent years, officials tried to make the festival a little less dangerous by giving the town 10,000 rubber balls to use instead of the stones. But the stock of rubber balls was used up in about 10 minutes, and the villagers went back to using rocks. And you know what? They didn't really want to use anything else. Although the masochism of the event has some worldwide equivalents, most notably the running of the bulls in Pamplona, carnage-wise, it still pales in comparison to the closest American equivalent, the mezzanine of Shea Stadium on Bat Day. Also, from News of the Weird comes this story about a British restaurant where diners are charged up to $125 for the privilege of eating their meals off the bodies of nude women. Two ladies in their early 20s act as human tables at the Samsi Japanese restaurant in Manchester. You can eat teriyaki chicken breast off their chests, flank steak off their buttocks, and let's just say you have to be pretty good with chopsticks to get at the raw tuna.
Now, here's a bit of news out of Germany, and I'm reading this almost verbatim. A German bank robber has been convicted and sentenced to 4 years in jail. The robber forgot to cut open eye slits in his mask, and he lifted it up to demand the money. The thief, which the Bild newspaper dubbed Germany's dumbest criminal, entered a bank in the western town of Gießen wearing a burlap bag over his head. Bumping into bank customers on the way to the teller, he pulled out a plastic knife and a toy pistol. He then lifted the front of his mask to look at the teller and demand money. The robber was told the safe couldn't be opened, so he ran away. But he was easily identified by security cameras, especially since he lifted the mask and looked directly into the camera. Now, I said this last week, and I'll say it again. How can I do my job as a humorist when they go ahead and write the material for me? It's just not right. The Associated Press reports that Italy is having a miserable year for its wines. A dry winter, followed by a wet summer, caused the worst harvest in half a century. Vintners are expected to jack up prices for the best stuff and downgrade the level of their grapes to make less refined red and white wines. More enterprising winemakers are turning to other ingredients for their stock, leading to such releases as a Mondavi dry pork Zinfandel, a Parducci cookie dough ice cream rosé, and for champagne drinkers, Asti Spamonti, made with raisins, shoe polish, and potted meat. In further food news from Italy, a 2.2-pound white truffle from Alba in the north fetched $35,000 at auction a week ago. Reuters reports that restaurants in Los Angeles and New York bid for the delicacy, which went to the L.A. eatery Bastide. "Once we had seen it, we had to have it," said restaurant director Donald Poto. "It looks like a meteorite." Now, what I love about this story was the fun that the writer took in doing the opening sentence. Honestly, this is how it read. "What's smelly looks like a huge shriveled potato and costs $35,000. I have to admit, my first guess was Gary Coleman. Food news from China. A study of 700 men in Shanghai, some with prostate cancer, some not, showed that those who ate a third of an ounce a day of garlic, scallions, leeks, or onions were 50% less likely to get the disease. A study done on another 700 men who ate more than a third of an ounce a day had to be abandoned because no scientist wanted to get near them. On the domestic front, a 15-year-old from Seattle suffered serious burns when he set himself on fire trying to copy a stunt he'd seen on Jackass. While friends stood by and videotaped him, the boy doused his shirt in alcohol and ignited it. The stunt obviously went very wrong, said police in a statement. In related news, a Buddhist monk sustained numerous cuts and bruises after skateboarding naked over broken glass to protest the war on Iraq. Finally, in religious news, Roman Catholic bishops voted this week on legislation regarding sexual abuse of children. They're for it. And that's the news gone by for November 17th, 2002. Sending your comments, opinions, and smuggled audio tapes to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062, or email us at davesgoneby@aol.com. Unless otherwise requested, all comments and questions may be read on the air, name withheld upon request. That's davesgoneby@aol.com, or snail mail, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Please, no rock throwing. I've already got balls. Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret. These are magical words conjuring up a universe of great entertainment. If you want to know everything about what's happening on the stages of New York, you need to get Performing Arts Insider magazine. For 60 years, Performing Arts Insider has been a bible of the industry. It tells you when shows are opening and closing, what they're about, who's in it, designers, writers, composers, contacts for producers and managers, box office info, parental guides, everything you need to know if you care about theater, opera, and dance too. As the chief editor of Backstage put it, Performing Arts Insider is who, what, where, and when, all the facts at your fingertips. For more information, how to subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to www.totaltheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. Dave here. I want to give a plug to Don Lewis, host of Entertainment Long Island, Sunday nights at 10. It's an hour of interviews and advice about how to get started as a performer, be it for business or a hobby. Every show has trivia, nostalgia, live music by Eddie Hug and the Moonshiners, and Don's a real pro. He puts on a good show. So give a listen to Entertainment Long Island, 10 p.m. Sundays on WGBB, because the stage is a world of entertainment. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. This is a segment I like to call Dave's Gone Cultural, featuring reviews, previews, and interviews about the arts. Well, this week, something close to my heart. I basically made a pilgrimage. Let me explain what I mean by that. I've been a Bob Dylan fan since my mid-teens, since back in junior high school, and I've tried to touch base with him, aside from listening to all his albums and stuff, not every time he's in town, but certainly every few years. It's important to me, and I don't even know why, to make sure that I hear what he's doing, that I go see him physically, just to know Bob's there, even after that heart trouble he had, the motorcycle accident years ago when I was a couple of years old. There's a continuum about him, just from being the most important pop songwriter ever, and for him still being out there, even though he doesn't have to, trying to entertain, trying to be the song and dance man. First time I ever went to a Dylan concert, it was at Madison Square Garden, 1978. In fact, he was in the area for a couple of gigs, one at MSG, the other at Nassau Coliseum. My good friend Scott and I saw both with my folks in tow, because we were too young to go unaccompanied to a rock concert. And this was the just post-Street Legal. He was pushing that album, but pre- when he converted to Jesus and all that stuff. So he was already going downhill vocally, and the material wasn't as good, but it hadn't gotten to the whole preaching thing, and it was kind of Vegas-y and a lot of saxophones and all that stuff, and yet it was the first time we'd ever seen him live, and we thought it was great. We were having a fine time. It was too loud, we thought. Years later, after seeing a bunch of loud rock concerts, I wonder whether I've lost my hearing and things have gotten better, or whether they've just gotten better audio and things aren't so blaring most of the time. Anyway, touched base with Dylan again about a decade ago at Radio City. Pretty good gig there. And then last time I saw him was 4 years ago, again November, with Joni Mitchell opening for him, and I love Joni too. I remember seeing her in a wonderful concert on the island a few years ago, and she was just outmatched by MSG. It was the crowd tried to be responsive, but that place was just too big for her. But wow, Bob came out, he was wearing these white sneakers, and he was just going at that guitar and bouncing, and it was really, that was cool. So this time at MSG, I was kind of looking forward to it, although I know it was a few years later, his voice has gone, you know, down even more. You come in there, and it was, got there at about 7:30 for an 8 o'clock show, and there was like no one there, and we were worried, oh my gosh, you know, Dylan can't even sell out MSG anymore. Although, by about 10 after 8, the place was starting to get pretty full, although some sections were left empty. And the weirdest thing about MSG, I don't know if they do this for all concerts, or if they do it at for the Garden for hockey or basketball, but there were people there. They serve popcorn, they serve beer, they go up and down the aisles. They serve now glasses, plastic glasses of champagne with a piece of strawberry in it. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I don't know what they were charging for it, first of all, and I don't know who would buy that. But anyway, getting back to Bob. Again, at this point, it isn't about seeing him do a great, exciting, incredible rock and roll show the way Nick Cave can, or Neil Young still can, or a zillion young bands still can. It's about touching bedrock, making sure he's still there and still trying. And it was also amazing how many folks who were there on the Wednesday that I saw him, on November 13th, had also been there on the Monday, the 11th. And I thought I was a Dylan expert and fan, but there is a cult out there. People who do everything from speculating wildly on the Sgt. Pepper-type suit he was wearing, to what he would play this time, to whether he'd do a long harmonica solo, he didn't really, to how many bootleg tapes people had. One guy had like 60, and we're not even talking from the golden years, from about 65 to 68. We're talking like recently. Anyway, this concert, Dylan, he did some guitar. He also stood at an electric piano a lot. He did a lot right there, and his voice was shot. The fellow I went with, thank you very much, Chris, for getting those tickets. He was saying he had seen him Monday night, and his voice was in better shape, and this time he was hoarse and really gravelly, but his voice did get better a few songs into the show and stayed okay, which was a big relief, actually. And the band was pretty good, although the acoustics we had floor seats are very rumbly, and when everybody's standing up, that kind of kills the sound too, and forget trying to see anything in floor seats. I mean, really, you have to stand on a chair to see over people's heads, and typical me, you know, I'm about 5'4.5". Guy in front of me is mountain man from left to right and up to down, and the guy next to him is a short little nerdy guy who is very cool, but also bopping around and dancing. So if I'm trying to see around the mountain man, all I'm doing is seeing this guy bobbing and weaving in front of my eyes. But they were having a good time. I was having a good time. It was all right. Because of the vocal stuff, I found it kind of hard to get terribly worked up over the gig, though he did start to cook on the song Tombstone Blues, a rendition more country blues than on Highway 61, and pretty close to the version he did on MTV Unplugged, only a little bit more rockin'. But here's the MTV version from 1995, Tombstone Blues.
Things are in bed now, of course. City fathers, they're trying to endorse reincarnation of Paul Revere's horse. But the town is no need to lose. Most of Bell stars, he has down her with. He's sensible enough to finally lean it. Fogs at the river's head. It's the head of the Chamber of Commerce. Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the hallway, begging for the fuse. I'm in the kitchen with the Tombstone Blues. Go bright in the penny arcade, screaming Simone that I've just been made. Then father the doctor pulls down the shade, and my advice is not to let the buzz in. But a medicine man comes, he shuffles inside, he walks with a swagger, he says to the bride, stomp all this weeping and swallow your pride. It will not die, it's not poison. Mama's in the factory, ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, looking for the fuse. I'm in the kitchen with the bedroll. Super players never rest around the flagpole. And a national bank at a puppet sells road maps to the soul. To the old post home and the college. I wish I could write to you a melody so plain. Please give you, lady, I'm gonna say. Doctor's weeping. You say they call it my name. Mama's in the factory, ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the hallway,
Tombstone Blues from MTV Unplugged. And if you think Dylan's voice was a shadow of his former self then, well, you should have heard him Wednesday night. Still, the spirit was willing and he pulled the evening off. And some of the songs that he did that night, just for those keeping score, he did You Ain't Going Nowhere, High Water for Charlie Patton from the recent album, Shelter from the Storm, All Along the Watchtower, One Too Many Mornings, It's All Right, Moa, Times They Are A-Changin', and a surprising number of cover versions. I mean, Brown Sugar was a lot of fun, the Rolling Stones song, and Warren Zevon's Mutineer. I think we've all heard about the trouble Zevon's going through and that he may be on his last legs physically, so it was a nice ballad choice. And something also quite unexpected and nice, he closed the show, and he didn't do this Monday night, only on Wednesday night, with the song Something, which he said was for my buddy, George Harrison. He also, some other stuff wasn't so great. He's, the song he's done a lot of times, Van Morrison's Carrying a Torch. Morrison pulls it off. There's a lot of repetition. Dylan doesn't really. And some of the lesser-known pieces like Honest With Me and Cold Iron's Bound just didn't really ignite. And it's kind of interesting what his singing style is now. It's much softer, not only, I think, because he was resting his voice that day, but that may be his new thing. He goes soft, and then towards the end of a line, he'll go up near into falsetto, which is okay, I guess. He can't shout the ends of his lines the way he did in the incredible Rolling Thunder days. Speaking of Rolling Thunder, by the way, if you're a collector of the bootleg series, the official bootleg series released by Columbia Records, coming out soon, apparently, you've got numbers 5 and 6, which will be songs from the film Ronaldo and Clara, and apparently unreleased Rolling Thunder stuff. So some of that should be miraculous. Anyway, Bob Dylan is 61 years old, so if his never-ending tour really doesn't end, I'll catch him again in a couple of years, even if at that point he sounds like a train wreck tracheotomy. And no, he's really not that bad, and if he can still get something like 10,000, 20,000 people on their feet, hollering, jumping up and down, believing, I'm still with him all the way. Now, on Wednesday, he did Forever Young, which sounds so lackadaisical on the Planet Waves album, but whenever he does it live, therefore, it sounds better than he did on the original record. And this time, there was something very touching about the lyrics and him doing it in this post-9/11 New York. So this version of the Biograph collection, though, is bedrock, something pure and elemental, something forever young.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. May you stay forever young. May you stay. Just be
Days Gone Cultural for this week. If you were at the Dylan Show either Monday or Wednesday and want to write in with your own thoughts to share, You know the email, davesgoneby@aol.com, no apostrophe there, davesgoneby@aol.com, or snail mail, davesgoneby, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Start spreading the news. There's a new magazine in town with the latest stories and reviews about everything on stage. On and Off Magazine. There's a glossy, full-color guide to theater, dance, comedy, and cabaret in New York City. The best part is, it's free. You can find On and Off around town at theaters, restaurants, hotels, and community and information centers. Visit www.onandoffstage.com for more information, and let On and Off be your guide. If you're a big fan of Dave's Gone By, and I know I am, why not join the Bystanders, the official Dave's Gone By fan club? Because you can receive a bi-monthly newsletter devoted to the show, get a weekly special email, an autographed membership card, eligible for discounts on show merchandise and local businesses, receive a one-hour best-of audio tape, including favorite moments from the show, and maybe even stuff we couldn't put on the radio. All this for just $10. For the newsletter, the discounts, the email, and the collector's item audio tape, it's a great deal. And if you join before December 31st, 2002, we'll throw in a signed picture of the host. Just make a $10 check or money order payable to Total Theater and send it to Total Theater Radio, P.O. Box 62, that's 62, Hewlett, New York, H-E-W-L-E-T-T, New York, 11557-0062. For more information about the fan club, email us at davesgoneby@aol.com. Every Saturday night at 7:30, right here on WGBB, it's Joe Salzone Live. Tell us about it, Joe.
Well, Dave, it's a half-hour, fast-paced glimpse at the world we live in.
Joe Salzone brings his old-fashioned, conservative views, along with his desire to hear all viewpoints, to the airwaves each week. It's a one-of-a-kind show that you'll hear only on Long Island's news and information leader,
1240 AM WGBB,
the station that serves your community. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By and a segment we like to call the World Weird Web, which is exactly what it sounds like, odd and unusual and unmissable places to go on the Internet. Today, kind of a sad occasion, not tragic, just a little sad, Eilert Pilarm, the most famous, most beloved Elvis impersonator in Sweden, is retiring. His international fame has been growing over the past couple of years, but apparently he's gotten weary of the spotlight. Maybe a little sick of people treating him as a figure of fun. So he's just going to go back to his full-time regular job as a factory janitor. The news of his retirement was announced on Erwin Schussid's radio show on WFMU. Erwin's the guy who brought Eilert to public attention in this country and wrote about him in his book about outsider music, Songs in the Key of Z, which begs the question, what's so special about an Elvis impersonator? After all, they're almost part of the landscape, so much so that the best-known scene in the movie comedy Honeymoon in Vegas had Nicolas Cage, dressed as Elvis, jumping out of an airplane with a bunch of other Elvi. So, if Sweden wants to have its own Elvis impersonator, who are we to mock? Except that Eilert Pilarm is about the last person, maybe the second-to-last person in the world, to be a dead ringer for the king. He doesn't look at all like Elvis Aaron Presley, not even in the bloated peanut butter and banana years. Eilert looks like Elvis the way I look like John Amos. But hey, Rich Little doesn't look like all the people he impersonates. Andy Kaufman came off like a nebbishy foreign man before he turned around and got the snarl down. The thing with Eilert, though, is that he doesn't move like Elvis. He doesn't gesture like Elvis. And most of all, he doesn't sound like Elvis. He's not even in the ballpark. But before you think he's just a sleazy lounge entertainer crooning and feigning his way through rockabilly, calling himself Elvis as a gimmick, remember that Eilert is the real deal. The clothes, the attitude, the belief in old-fashioned rock and roll as Elvis made it. The problem is, Eilert Pilarm can't sing at all. He's borderline tone-deaf with all the sense of rhythm of a 3-year-old. A very slow 3-year-old. On top of that, Ehlert's English skills have a Berlitz Lesson 2 amateurishness about them, and it's why the phenomenon of his cult success is so baffling, yet so wonderful. But rather than further explain the inexplicable, let's hear a sample of Ehlert at work. First, to brace the palate, here's the real thing. Elvis Presley from his 1957 number one hit, Jailhouse Rock. Okay, that's the real Elvis. See if you can tell the difference between him and impersonator Ehlert Pilarm. I think you can guess pretty quick, but give a listen.
Walk to a party in the county of Yale. The prison man was in and they began to wail. The band put the young do and began to swing. You should have heard a roll snake in our terrible thing that's rock. Let's rock. Everybody holds their block. Won't dance to the Yale House rock. Spine him up on his hands and his surfboard. Little Joan on the slide trombone. The drummer boy went just boom bam. You was written saying it was purple and let's rock. Let's rock. Everybody holds their block. Won't dance to the Yale House rock. Number 4, 7, 7, number 3. You could tell about every did see. I'm truly belated company. Come and do Yale House Rock with me. Let's rock. Let's rock. Everybody holds their block. Walk down to the Yale House Rock. Sitting on a stone, way in your corner, weeping alone. The button ain't button on square. If you find a button, would chair, let's rock. Let's rock. Everybody holds their lock. Walk down through the Yale House rock. Shifting as they do the books to heaven's sake. No one looking on chance may break. Books trying to shift and it said nick snicks. I wanna stick you around a while to get my kicks. Let's rock. Let's rock. Everybody holds their block. Walk down to the Yale House rock. Walk down to the Yale House rock. Walk down to the Yale House rock.
Dancing to the Yale House rock with Ehlert Pilarm, the Swedish Elvis. Pilarm has a few albums out, and everything pretty much sounds like that. Tight band, vocals from Mars. To get a look at Ehlert in costume and other treats, go to http://ehlertpilarm.to. That's ehlertpilarm.to. Now, one especially interesting thing I learned from the website was, as they put it, Du har sett honom I TV-reklamen för Kelda, där han virtuos lagar mat och samtidigt mimitar Elvis Presley för Ungarna, which I think says it all. Now, Ehlert was born in 1953. He's single, no surprise there, and he's had a history of mental problems. But if the Elvis thing is just delusional behavior, why do so many people get off on it and into it? Pilarm played Memphis for a week this year, and his last performance was November 2nd on the Finnish cruise ship, the Silja Line. Retired or no, Pilarm's record albums are still available. If you click on the Kop Kult button on his official website, you can buy Ehlert Jule, the Christmas Elvis, Greatest Hits, Johnny B. Good, and Ehlert in Stockholm. The website also has QuickTime videos of TV commercials Ehlert filmed for the Swedish food company Kelda. And there are 60-second audio clips, including It's Now or Never, and a live version of Love Me Tender with screaming teenagers in the audience. Well, 50-year-old teenagers anyway. But Okay, you've twisted my arm. Here's a sample from Eilert Yule, a touching, or is that touched, rendition of Silent Night. Kind of makes you think they crucified the wrong guy, huh? Another website has a January 2001 concert review of an Eilert performance. It's written by Magnus Sandberg in English, and I hope you don't mind if I read bits of it. I have enjoyed Eilert Pilarm's offbeat interpretation of Elvis's well-known repertoire for some 5 years. I've never seen him perform live. The concert was starting at 11 p.m. at the Elvis-soaked Heartbreak Hotel in Gavle, Sweden. This is the place to go if you're middle-aged and like to dance to 50s rock and schlager. Often, very drunk guests, but big smiles and a compañero approach. I drank a bottle of red wine to my dinner just to get me in the right mood. In the taxi, I was advised to buy rave music. The driver was playing some of that techno I can't stand. I told him I was going to see an Elvis impersonator who sang quite funny, but he did not get it. Instead, he complained there were no places for raves anymore. I was glad when I got out of his car. The ticket was about $8, nothing to complain about, and I instantly felt that this was going to be a special night because it was crowded, capital letters there. The middle age seemed to have stayed home, and instead it was people in their 20s. I lit a cigarette and moved forward into the crowd. While coming close enough to see him, I parked myself at one of the loudspeakers. The volume was quite low, so it was not painful. He performed with a pre-recorded tape, but he sang for real. And there was something about his eyes that hit me. He was enjoying himself, big time. The crowd pulled out their hands toward him, wanting him to touch them, and he did, between songs, to their joy. "Are you lonesome tonight? Blue suede shoes. Don't be cruel. And hound dog." Now, for those of you who have not heard him, I can tell you that he doesn't know how to speak English. He just tries to sing the same tones as his beloved Elvis does, and sometimes he gets it all wrong, but that only makes it better, of course. Then he started singing Blue Hawaii, and I screamed like all the others, "Yeah, Eilert! Eilert! Eilert!" And I noticed that the people behind me, who were merely laughing at first, were all excitement now. He had us under his spell! Capital letters, 3 exclamation points. Pretty soon, everyone was dancing like Elvis himself was on stage, and there was a real, loving feeling in the air. Some of the elder ones looked really nostalgic, like they missed their youth. Suddenly, it was over, but we wanted more. So, a lot of screams later, he came up on stage and performed a very touching version of A Fool Such as I. The words hit me, and I felt a sadness. But not for long. Eilert was really happy that night, and he made us all feel a little better. I walked home in the darkness, bought a hot dog. Everything was back to normal again. But the memory lives on. A memory of an honest man doing his best. Eilert Pilarm is something else. Do a Google search on Eilert Pilarm for all sorts of info and pictures on him, but again, his official site on the World Weird Web is http://eilertpilarm.to, eilertpilarm.to. Eilert, take a little time off, but do come back. Elvis did, bigger and better than ever. We want you, we need you, we love you.
Never let me go. You
Hi, folks. Dave Lefkowitz here from Dave's Gone By, and I want to tell you about a product, event, or service. I'm going to talk about it for half a minute or a minute. I'm going to make it really interesting, and all my listeners are going to go, hey, maybe I'll try this product, event, or service. It's called advertising or sponsorship, and it's easy, cost-effective, and just plain effective. To get your person, place, or thing, well, not thing, promoted on Dave's Gone By and reach listeners all over Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, and the tri-state area, just give us a call at 516-295-1511 or email us at davesgoneby@aol.com. Check our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, and see sponsorship opportunities, ad rates, and more. Again, the number, 516-295-1511. Insert your product, event, or service here. As I mentioned earlier, in his Madison Square Garden concert, Bob Dylan tipped his hat to Warren Zevon, the terrific singer-songwriter who's suffering from inoperable lung cancer. The creator of Werewolves of London, Tenderness on the Block, and Excitable Boy is really going to be missed. And this is the song Dylan chose to cover, the title track of Zevon's 1995 album, Mutineer. Warren Zevon. He'll probably live for years, but I miss him already. Mutineer. Check our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, to see a playlist for the music on this show, plus all sorts of information about Dave's Gone By. Learn more about the Bystanders Club, advertising, sponsorship, and how you can help support the program. We accept check, money order, and PayPal. and the occasional kind word or compliment doesn't hurt either. Thank you, Station Manager Joey, Engineer Paul, terrific show tonight, dude. Engineer Joe also, by the way, check out his show, Joe Salzone Live, Saturday nights at 7:30, and Sunday nights, an hour from now, 10 to 11, don't miss Don Lewis hosting Entertainment Long Island. I think he has a 14-year-old magician tonight. Thank you, Chris Donahue, and thanks to my assistant and wife, Joyce Weil. That's Dave's Gone By for this week, our seventh show. Please send your comments, love letters, and suggestions to davesgoneby@aol.com. Tune in next Sunday at 8. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night, stay forever young, and gone by.
I will go a merry way and jump the hedges first. Drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. And I will watch the ferry boats and they'll get high. Against the blue ocean, against the tomorrow sky. And I will walk and talk in gardens all wet with spring. I never, ever, never, ever get so old again.
You've been listening to Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz on 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community.